I'm Laura Green. Welcome to the Sapphic Book Review Podcast, the show that brings you the best in sapphic fiction. Join me as I chat with authors, narrators, and friends who share my love for the genre. You will learn things you didn't know about your favorites and get some suggestions for your next read. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe. Welcome to the Sapphic Book Review Podcast. Today's guests have been two of my favorites since I started on my sapphic reading journey. Georgia Beers and Melissa Braden, welcome and thanks for being here.
Oh, hello. Hello. We're happy to be here on this lovely day.
We are. Though it's not so lovely over here. It's winter. There's snow. I mean, it's how it's supposed to be. So
we are in the 70s and it is sunny here in Texas.
And I'm in Missouri, which it doesn't matter what the weather is. I'm still in Missouri and it sucks. Melissa, Lucky and Lace was released on March 14th. Tell us about Juliet and Peyton.
You know, it's a little bit of a different journey with Lucky and Lace. I think it's because Peyton is a unique character when compared with some of the others that I've written in the past. Her history isn't exactly pretty. It's not tied in a nice little bow. She's recently out of prison for some mistakes that she's made. And she's searching for a way back, for some redemption. And she's attempting to mend some broken bonds with her family. And in doing so, she goes back to the proverbial scene of the crime, back to her hometown, and opens up a sexy and very inclusive lingerie shop that happens to go in next to a pretty conservative stationery store owned by Juliet Jennings, who kind of mirrors the store itself and is a little nervous about that lingerie shop going in because she's afraid that it's going to alarm her charming elderly customers who come in to buy their greeting cards. And so as you can imagine, there's a grumpy sunshine dynamic taking place, which makes for some fun sexual tension, in my opinion. And I hope the readers think so too. The premise is a bit of a departure for me, but I think you will see some hallmarks of my past books and my writing woven within.
I read it last week and there are quite a few of those. And Peyton, oh, come on. I just want to give her a big old hug and kiss.
Oh, good. We'll take it.
Georgia, April 11th will bring us Dance With Me. By the way, you did use my legs as the cover of the book, so thanks.
That's supposed to be a secret.
Sorry, but they look really good, and I like to brag on myself sometimes. Give us a sneak peek of the book.
Dance With Me is about a woman, her name is Scotty, and she was unceremoniously dumped by her girlfriend of several years. She happened to live in the girlfriend's house, and so she had to change houses very quickly, moves in with her grandmother, and is just trying to put the pieces of her life back together. She is a hairstylist, and she works with her best friend, Sebastian, who is getting married at the end of the year, and he wants to take dance lessons to surprise his wife so he knows how to dance on their wedding day. So he enlists Scotty to be his dance partner at lessons. She doesn't really want to. She doesn't think she can dance, but she owes Bash a favor, so she goes with him. They go to Miss Tina's dance school. Everything's great. Cut to a few weeks later. Bash breaks his foot and then can't go to dance lessons. But the dance lessons are paid for. Scotty needs to get out of the house and find something to do with her life. So he talks her into continuing dance lessons. The next time she goes, the teacher has been switched out to the teacher's niece, who ends up being the ex of Scotty's ex.
So Scotty's, of course it does.
Yes. Scotty's ex left this woman for Scotty. So now neither of them are with the ex, but now they are forced to dance with each other. Because when you don't have a partner at dance class, you dance with the instructor.
Everybody write that down. If you want to dance with the instructor, do not bring your partner. What was the name of the dance studio?
It's Miss Tina's Dance Studio.
Okay, I misheard. I thought you said it was called Lessons, and I thought that is very meta of you, Georgia. Just going, she's going to call it Lessons or going with that.
We're going to go take dance lessons at this place called Lessons.
I've got this. It's either lazy writing or very meta. You choose,
it's
reader.
It's like naming my bakery.
I'm going to do
name
that.
Name my bar.
Bar.
Let's go to bar.
Can't be bothered to think of a name. Lessons, everybody.
That would be a funny thing if it got like left in throughout edits. Like it's something you missed.
You would get the page change
and you're like, lessons? What?
Guess it's lessons now.
It is now. Nothing we can do about it.
What other releases do you both have planned for this year, Georgia?
Oh, me? After that one is Peaches and Cream, which is about an artisan ice cream shop and the woman who owns it. It's my little homage to You've Got Mail, because there is a large ice cream conglomerate that comes and moves into the town a few blocks away. And of course, the person who was running that shop and the person who was making the artisan ice cream. I mean, they might fall in love. It could happen. I don't know. You'll have to read it and find out. It's a mystery.
Head on over to Lessons and some ice cream and some dance.
An ice cream shop called Ice Cream.
I kid.
Peaches and Cream will come out in August. And then in December is the one that I am currently working on that's almost finished, called Playing with Matches. Back over to my second favorite place to write books, which is the Adirondacks. And this is about a woman who has to come home. It's kind of that hallmark coming home to the small town because things in the big city didn't go so well. And she ends up meeting up with someone from her high school that she actually doesn't recognize and doesn't remember from high school, who owns a little shop called Whimsy. There you go, Melissa, for you. Little shop called Whimsy, where she sells knickknacks and things to tourists. And she also makes candles in the back. And the two of them, they end up in a fake relationship, which I won't get into the details now because I don't want to spoil anything. But it's been fun to write. I've never written a lengthy fake relationship before. I wrote a short story that was a fake relationship, but I've never done a full-length novel. So that's been interesting. It's a fun trip.
Okay, I thought maybe it was an arson book for a minute.
No.
It's funny because whenever I'm chatting with Georgia and she's stuck or doesn't quite know where to go, I always say, burn something down. And this would be the perfect book, Georgia, for you.
It would.
To burn
and I'm not
something
done yet.
Down.
So it could still happen.
It could still happen. There could be a fire. Little House on the Prairie
another
fire.
20,000 words to go. It could happen.
All right. We're going to.
You could have a woman who falls in love with the arsonist who burned down her shop.
There we go. So many avenues for you to explore.
I know. So many. Yeah.
Your turn.
All right. So for me, I have a July release coming up, and the book is called Marigold, and it's the story of Marigold Lavender. So for anybody who has read The Last Lavender Sister, Aster Lavender has Marigold as one of her siblings. And we learn within the book, Marigold makes an announcement about her sexuality. And this is my chance to tell a little bit of her story. And I'm currently writing that book. And then I have a November
in my
release.
Head, that book is called Magnolia. That book will always be called Magnolia.
I can't seem to master it.
My brain went once and now forever.
They probably have a cousin named Magnolia. They're all
it's
named
still
after
a flower.
Flowers.
It starts with an M. I'm in
yeah.
the right.
There's probably one out there named that. And then in November, I have an untitled book, but I do think it's going to be about a place that sells donuts and wine, and I'm going to call it Bored Donuts.
Fabulous.
I'm very excited about that. I can't wait for the research. But for right now, I'm still getting all the details together.
You have to put a romance in there. You know that, right? You can't just write about the donuts and the
it
wine.
It can't just be like the donuts and wine fall in love.
No.
The ideal.
No. There's got to be
I'll see what I can do. Maybe we'll just call the book Four Donuts. We'll see. But I'm excited about it. I always said if I opened a wine bar, that's what I would call it. And so I'm sacrificing the name for the book. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited.
I've never done a donut and wine pairing.
Oh, you must.
I feel like that'd be a good thing. We used to have a place here that had cupcakes and martinis, mm-hmm. which was nice. But donuts and wine, I think that would be really fun.
I hope so.
How did you meet and what were your first impressions of each other?
Okay. Melissa tells the story a little better than I do. So you go ahead.
Well, it depends on which meet is such a broad term. I first encountered Georgia and I had read her books before, but I was not the kind of reader who was following authors on social media or had ever Googled them or gone to their website. So I didn't know what Georgia looked like or sounded like or talked like. And I went to a random panel at GCLS in 2011. It was my first conference and it was called Put Your Big Girl Panties On. And it was about authors dealing with reviews. And so it was the first panel of the conference, and I went and I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a book out yet. It had been signed, but not published. And so I listened to Georgia on the panel and realized, oh, this is who wrote these couple of books that I had read. I recognized the name and put it together. And my first impressions were that she was very funny. I remember her getting several laughs on the panel. And what's interesting is somebody at the back of that room took a picture. And there's a picture on Facebook at the back of my head, like in the front row. And then Georgia on the panel. So like,
it's our first picture together.
It's our first photo together. Look at that. And then we became friends. But actually meeting her in person was a couple days later. It was the last day of the conference. And I went through the whole conference really not meeting anybody, just kind of taking in information, writing notes. And I happened to sit next to Ray Spangler, who, if you know Ray is the most friendly person you would ever encounter.
He's the most introverted extrovert ever.
Yes. And they turned to me and immediately said, hi, and introduced themselves. And it was so nice to make a friend, even though it was at the end of the conference. And Ray, of course, was besties with Georgia. And so Georgia showed up and Ray introduced us and we were off. And my impressions once meeting Georgia, she was very kind and very inclusive. I remember there was a group of them standing near my chair, all having a very animated conversation while I sat waiting for the keynote address to start. And I remember Georgia saying, "We are crowding Melissa's space and we are not even including her in the conversation." And she pulled me right in. and I think we were off to the races from there. And so funny and kind and inclusive were my first impressions.
And I liked Melissa right away. Like she says, it was just like a day. We met at the very end of the conference. And then she, was that the year you went to the Tonys?
I did. I left. I didn't go to the awards ceremony that night because I was going to the Tony Awards in New York.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we met her and then she was gone. And I do remember all of that, but I think that we solidified our friendship in Portland at the GCLS in Portland because we had both gotten there kind of early-ish. And it wasn't up and running yet. And if you know Melissa, she is a person who, when she's going to a city, she does all the research and she's on TripAdvisor and she's got a list of restaurants she wants to go to and she's got a list
of
this.
Need the adventure.
So she's got plans when she gets there. And there was a winery that she wanted to go to and she had a rental car and she's like, let's go. So we hopped in the car and we went to this gorgeous winery. There was nobody there. It was really just like us. We got wine. We sat out and looked over the vineyards. And I had never been to that part of the United States before. It was just gorgeous. Yeah. It took us a year and a half to get back to the hotel because it was rush hour.
We had some get to know you conversations.
Exactly. That is the first time that we were alone together and really got to talk to each other and get to know each other. And I feel like that's when our friendship really started.
It was Ponzi, the vineyard. We sometimes will buy a Ponzi bottle of wine just to kind of say cheers.
Exactly.
I know when I went to GCLS, I was a wallflower and I didn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. So just like Melissa, I don't talk to people.
It's hard. I would say that the majority of the membership are introverts. And so it's tough sometimes to get introverts to make small talk with people. It's our least favorite thing in the world.
We're book people.
We all stand along the wall and look at each other.
I was like that for maybe the first day. And then I'm like, woo, let's go.
Right, what's a margarita? Laura, I don't know what you're talking about.
What is your favorite book of each other's?
Oh, go ahead, George.
I will.
What's your favorite?
It's interesting because my favorite for a very long time was Heart Block. Is that your second or third?
Second book.
Second, right? Mm-hmm. I loved Heart Block. And then First Position came along. And I feel like I kind of fly under the radar with that one because I don't feel like people talk about that one a lot. But I loved Anna. She was one of my favorite characters. But then Kiss the Girl came along. And so then there was Brooklyn. And then there was Jessica. Doesn't have a crush on Jessica? Come on. So I think if I was going to put them in order, I'm going to say First Position first, only because everybody says Kiss the Girl and I want to be a little different. But Kiss the Girl is like here's First Position and Kiss the Girl is like half an inch underneath it. So yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything she writes is amazing. And it's funny because when you know an author and then you read their work, you can hear them. So sometimes when her characters are bantering back and forth and teasing each other, I can hear her talking to me and that is just makes me all warm and fuzzy because I'm like, oh, I know what this would sound like. But yeah, I think I would go with First Position. Ballet dancers, come on.
Yeah, we'll take that. You know, it's interesting because before I even met Georgia, I had probably read 3 to 4 of books. And I think Too Close to Touch and Starting from Scratch were formative for me in my journey with sapphic fiction. So they're close to my heart. But at the same time, I wonder if I go back and read them now, is it a sentimental thing that I kind of hold them up? Or will I realize that some of the more recent titles really are my favorite? So I don't know if I'm biased. But, you know, when I loved the first Puppy Love book. I loved Blend, One Walk in Winter, which the alliteration, I mean, come on. But it's interesting because we debate our books, too, because there are a few books where one character is kind of deemed to have done something wrong and the other character is mad. And I always get on her. I'm like, the wrong character is apologizing in this particular book, which actually is a testament to the fact that readers can latch on to whoever they want and they identify with different characters and no one is good and no one is bad. It's just a matter of how you view the situation. So we have a lot of fun, I think, going back and forth about the different books and who was right and who was wrong.
It is funny because it's very rare that one of us will contact the other and be like, oh my God, I love this book so much. Instead, we'll be like, I am so mad at her right now.
What are you thinking?
And she literally did send me one. She's like, the wrong character is apologizing. And I was like,
what is happening right now?
Written. I can't fix it now.
She did nothing wrong.
What makes the other a good friend?
I have so many things about Melissa. I like wrote a little list and then I'm like, all right, she's not perfect. I mean, come on. but I will say that she is the best traveling companion because of the research that she does on cities, and that transfers into other stuff. If I call her or I text her and I say, listen, I'm not feeling well, this hurts, or this is going on with my grandbaby, in, you know, 10 minutes, I get a text from her that's like, here are some links, go look at this, here's what I found out. Like, she takes care of all, I don't have to do anything. It's awesome, because I could be like, hey, I got a headache and my neck kind of hurts. And she'll be like, did you do this? Have you tried this? What about this? Could it be this? She's like my own personal encyclopedia, which is kind of awesome. But I know that it comes from a place of love and she's just taking care of me. So that's one of the things I love about her.
That is very kind, which actually leads me into what I would say about Georgia, which is that she's the ultimate nurturer caregiver type. She gives the best hugs, first of all, which I think anybody can attest to. She will go out of her way to take care of the people that she cares about and make sure that they are okay. If you need something, she's going to make sure that you have it. But she's also, we make light of the fact that I'm like, hey, I'm headed to a winery, hop in the car. But she does. She will be a fantastic adventure partner, even though I think it goes a little bit against her nature to say, okay, let's go do this crazy thing. I remember we were in Massachusetts and I said, hey, I want to go see the farm where my dogs were born tomorrow morning, and it will be 6 hours in the car, but I want to see this farm. And Georgia was
you have a car, Georgia.
Okay, I'll drive you to New Hampshire.
I did. We drove through Boston traffic. It was horrendous.
To New Hampshire. So I could see where my dogs were born. But she's up for it, and I appreciate that so much about Georgia. And I'll tell this story. You know, I went through fertility treatments to have my two children, and it was a journey, and it was a lot of up and down, and it was very expensive. And it kind of felt like I was at the end of the road at one point and wouldn't be able to continue because it just got a little out of control. And to go another round, I needed $15,000 out of pocket, which is a lot of money. And I remember Georgia saying, she got quiet for a second and she said, well, I have $15,000. Of course, I did not take her $15,000, but just the thought that would even occur to her to offer that up. It was a very touching moment for me that she was that giving, that she was thinking about my life's trajectory and not her retirement.
That's very sweet. And I think Melissa and I, we're the same person because I have folders when I'm going somewhere of all the things I'm going to do, all the things I want to print out everything. Deb and I are going to New York next weekend. I have our tickets printed out for the things we're going to do. I have bars research that we're going to go drink.
It makes me very lazy, actually, because I don't show up where she tells me to be. You know, she books our room. She finds the Airbnbs. She's like, okay, here's where we're going. Be here at this such and such a time. And then we're going to go to dinner here and we're going to go to this bar. And I'm like, okay, tag along.
That's perfect. Have you ever considered co-writing a book?
That's a tricky one. Yes and no. I think on the list of people I would be willing to work with in that sense, Georgia would be at the top of it because I think when you're comfortable with somebody, you're also comfortable arguing with them and saying, no, I'm fighting for what you want, which is what you need in a creative process. And collaboration is fun. And I think we would have a process because we've worked on short projects together. But at the same time, I'm so careful about my work. And I know George is too. Neither of us have really used beta readers before. And that's because we kind of like wrap our arms around our work a little bit and kind of keep people from peeking over our shoulders. So that's something that I would have to get over. But
we don't
think
even talk to each other about our works in progress. We'll talk to each other about the idea. Like, I know what she's writing right now and she knows what I'm writing right now, but I don't know where the story's going. I don't know anything about it. I don't read it ahead of time. That's not part of what we do. We read them when they're done, of course.
Yeah.
But we don't really brainstorm with each other about that kind of thing. Just like she said, we're very much eyes on your own paper.
But at the same time, never say never, because it's not something that I would be against doing. We would just have to sort out the logistics of it.
And we do get requests a lot. We get emails and people will put comments on posts and stuff about, when are you two going to write a book together? So never say never. It could happen. It may not. And it could.
What's the perfect song to describe your friendship?
Okay. So this is a little bit sentimental and it's a little cheesy, but you know, it's honest. And so I was like, honestly asking myself the question, and the song in Wicked for Good always makes me think of Georgia because it really does. And you know, through our, was it 12 years of friendship now? Yeah. 12 years of friendship. We've had a lot happen. We've been on a lot of different journeys and a lot of different paths, and our lives have taken turns, but we really have been there for each other. And so I think when I hear those lyrics, I really always, I missed up a little bit when I hear it. And I think about our friendship. I think the lyrics encapsulate it.
That's actually perfect. That's actually perfect. I struggled with that question. And all I could come up with was Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract, because we talk all the time about how completely different
we are. We're so different.
The fact that we have such a great friendship is sometimes shocking to me, because we are very, very different people. We were just talking about this not long ago. Melissa was like, we are so different. We don't like the same food. We don't like
any given situation. We will come at it from a completely different tactic or standpoint. And the way we decide to tackle something, we have very different methods.
Melissa leads with logic. I lead with emotion. I mean, that, and we know this about each other. So that's helpful, where I can be like, okay, so this is what Melissa's going to say. And she can go, okay, well, here's how George is going to think about this. So it's good that we know that about each other, but we are very, very different.
So different.
You're switching careers and must choose one from your characters. Which career are you choosing and why?
I'm running a wine bar.
I get a feeling you would.
It was either that or making the pies from Flavor of the Month, but I'm more knowledgeable about wine. I don't have a lot of faith in my pie crust. So I think I'm going to run a wine bar. Plus, I think it would be fun.
I think for me, I would love to go to the musical theater realm and go back to Waiting in the Wings and that, you know, taking the show on the road, different cities. But then I also think about Joey Wilder running that tasting room, Tingle Valley Vineyard. And that looks like a pretty cush life. And I would enjoy pouring the wine and talking to the customers about the varietals and maybe taking a sip or two myself. And maybe, Georgia, at your wine bar, you could come to the vineyard and buy from us. And we would.
I could do that. And then you could come and sit at my wine bar when you don't want to be in your own place because the business is driving you crazy.
That's true. That's a good point. So those things can work together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Perfect. Yeah,
there's your co-write right there.
Done.
By the way, I just started a part-time job working in a tasting room at a winery.
Do you understand that that is a little bit of a dream job for me? I'm jealous of you right now. And I've actually planned that when my children are older and I'm kind of approaching retirement, that is what I want to do. I want to go work in a tasting room. And someone, for my 35th birthday, arranged for me to pour wine on my birthday as like a gift. They put me to work, which is what I wanted.
That's very cool. That would be fun. Yes.
It's so fun when it's slow. You know what you do? You just taste the wine to see if it's gone bad.
I mean, you have to. You got to know.
I got to pour this out, but I better taste it first to find out.
Right.
Oh, better taste
so
it again.
So yesterday I tasted like 10 different wines and I'm like, oh shit, I better slow down. Yeah. Drive home. When I'm hanging with my best friend, her daughter Jada and I sing Hamilton songs and talk about how she's really my child. What are the kids like doing when Aunt Georgia comes for a visit?
You know what the tradition has started to be is theme parks. We hit up all the San Antonio theme parks and, you know, Georgia orders popcorn. And I remember her feeding Everett in his stroller and carrying him around for the roller coasters and then chasing Cameron through the Christmas tree maze. It's kind of been kind of tradition now to hit up the theme parks. And I remember the last time Georgia visited, there were a lot of books being read to Cameron mm-hmm. in particular. Mm-hmm. So yep.
Can I tell a story?
Sure.
My last visit, which was in December, just before Christmas. I like to go down there and visit in December because it's all decorated for Christmas, but it's warm as opposed to here. Yeah. So I try to get down there once a year so I can see the kids. And I was getting ready to leave. So I had my suitcase. We were in the hallway and they're going to drive me to the airport. And Everett comes walking up with a picture he had made, which Melissa fully thinks is for her. And he walks right by her and gives it to me.
That's
and she
right.
was like very quiet. She goes, well, that didn't go how I thought it was going to. Okay. It's on my refrigerator right now.
Yes.
Aw, that's the best. Little kid pictures.
Yeah.
The best.
Yep, yep, yep.
What does the other do to make you laugh?
This is audio only. If you had been watching, you would have seen a lot of gestures flying in one of the boxes. Because my friend here is Italian and I always tease Georgia because of how demonstrative she is. You know, when she's very excited, the volume level goes a little high and the gestures start flying. And when she's really uncomfortable, it goes the opposite direction. Like she can't stand for a little tiny piece of hair to touch her forehead.
No, she was freaking out earlier because her hair was in her mouth.
She can't deal. So to me, when I get to watch her uncomfortable, not that I would ever wish her discomfort, but the way she handles it is so humorous to me because she has a lot to do, say, and sounds to make. So it's amusing.
Well, and it's funny because what I'm going to say about Melissa is along those same lines where she is Southern. She's very Southern. She's always very put together. Everything is slow and deliberate. So this, me talking with my hands everywhere, I'm sure that she's like completely freaked out by that when we first started getting to know each other. But the funny thing about Melissa is that she rarely curses. It's very rare, which makes when she does drop an F-bomb that much funnier because you're like, did that come out of Melissa's mouth? Oh my God. She picks and chooses exactly where she will drop an F-bomb, and it's hilarious.
Those are key moments. You got to reserve them so they matter.
Yeah.
I'm totally overusing the F-bomb. I need Melissa to teach me how to intersperse those.
Well, you can really pack a punch when you need to if you reserve them. They don't see
True.
You coming.
Okay. Mm-hmm. True. Gonna work on that. Georgia and Melissa, thanks so much for taking the time to chat. I'm looking forward to buying you both drinks in Denver.
I've got a list of about 8 that have been promised to me from you, Laura. So I'll be showing up nightly for my.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But no, I look forward to it.
Wait, what time is it? Isn't it?
Wait. To buy us a drink? Find Laura for the drink.
Thanks so much for listening. And thanks again to Georgia Beers and Melissa Braden for joining me. To learn more about Georgia and Melissa and find links to purchase their books, visit georgiabeers.com and melissabraden.com. To support this podcast, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/sapphiclaura or join my Patreon at patreon.com/sapphicbookreviewpod, where you can hear your favorite authors play Would You Rather. Here's a sample of this week's with Georgia and Melissa. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, happy reading. Georgia, would you rather own a wine bar or a bakery?
Oh, that's mean, a wine bar.
Well, I'm going to have a competing wine bar.
Of course you are.
Across the street.
What's going to be the name of your wine bar?
That I don't have that. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Mine's going to be Bordonut.
Or donuts.
Serve the little mini hot donuts. And if you get a glass of wine, you get 2 little mini donuts on the side. Pop that beer.
I'll be coming to your wine bar after my shift is over.
There you go.
Would you rather go bungee jumping or skydiving?
I'm not doing either of those things, no matter how much money you give me.
I would skydive. I don't think I would bungee jump. I think that that's placing way too much faith in board to come back up. But I would skydive. I would do a tandem skydive, like where they strap you to that big burly guy who knows exactly what he's doing. And you don't have to do anything. You just hang there. That I would do.
Nope.
But it has to be a big burly guy. That would make me feel safe. Like strap me to the rock and then I'll go. I would be fine with that.